Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on the 16th day of June 2023. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone, and a big welcome to Brother Peter and Sister Valerie. I don't see her yet, but glad to have you with us in fellowship tonight, as well as others that are on the phone or those listening to the recording of this service. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another fellowship where we can worship Him from whom all blessings flow. Big hugs to you, dear mother, and to other brothers and sisters. So welcome again, dear ones. And our opening song is titled Standing on the Promises. And praise God for giving us His written word with so many precious promises that by these we might be able to escape the corruption that is in the world through our fallen nature. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises that cannot be, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. My Savior,
standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting on my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. My Savior, help me stand.
Amen. Standing on the promises takes faith. It takes trust and hope in the one who made the promises. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, everything is possible through Christ, which strengthens you and me. So standing on the promises, you cannot fall. There is abundant grace to allow you to stand and to overcome any of the attacks of the wicked one. So thank you, Savior, for your precious promises in your word. And it's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that prayer for our meeting? Please feel free.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another Sabbath day and bringing us safely through another week and giving us eye salve to see the signs of the times and the traps set by the enemy of all righteousness, the enemy of God and man. Thank you through your word for showing us the ways in which he works and his plans being revealed by the truth revealed in thy word and allowing us to recognize that he is not our friend, but our enemy. And sin, the very thing that brings death, and the power of sin, the breaking of the law of God. Thank you for the Sabbath and the blessings that have attended us and are starting to attend those that are opening it as we speak or are about to. We thank you for making it possible to connect via phone, computer, tablet, and I think that's about all. But if there's other things I've not mentioned, thank you for making it so easy to do this too. There's always going to be trials. We were reading about this last week. But if we go forward in faith on the sure promises of God's word, standing on them, the trials will definitely come, but so will the victories for those who trust in Christ the Lord. Please help me and others communicate the truth better, including how to use technological things to meet in person, over the phone, on the internet. Thanking you for making it possible for us to talk in real time and seek your blessing on Prophets and Kings and the reading to bring out what our souls need most, that the law of God, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ might shine forth and show us our need of salvation every single moment of the day and night and in sleep and in waking hours. Thank you for bringing us through and making it possible. Bless our dear speaker and all of us who can participate in one way or another, and especially our hearts that are coming that we hold out to you to do with it as you please, because your will is good, perfect, and good, and for our salvation. Help us have the grace more to believe this, as we hunger and thirst by your help. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Well, we are continuing in our study book. This is Prophets and Kings, dealing with prophets of the Northern Kingdom of Israel, starting out with Elijah the Tishbite. And we're in the chapter that's subtitled, What Doest Thou Here? And we've learned that when Elijah feared for his life, he ran into the wilderness and was 40 days and 40 nights traveling until he found a cave up in the top of the mountain. And God, in tender mercy, reached out to Elijah and said, what are you doing here? I haven't given you the command to go out into the wilderness. I gave you the command to speak and to warn and to lead the children of Israel away from Baal worship back to worshiping the God of Israel. And God, in a very tender way, revealed to Elijah that it's not through the big thunderstorms or windstorms or firestorms or earthquakes that God has his way to reach the heart. But God reaches the heart through the Spirit, tenderly speaking. And so we have to be able to listen in order to hear the Spirit speaking to us. And so we left off in the paragraph that the devil knows the weaknesses of each one of us, a lot of times better than we know them. But if we cling to Jesus and we abide in God's love for us, then we can stand any temptation, any trial that the devil may throw our way, and be able to overcome it through Christ, which strengthens us. So as the devil brings trials and tribulations to try and overthrow our faith or belief in Christ Jesus, then God gives extra grace for us to hold fast and to endure. And so when different situations occur to you, different periods of trial and tribulation that you may not know why it has come, or why it is hitting you at that very moment in time, you know, the most inopportune time, we can recognize that God loves us. He would not allow this trial or tribulation to come to us unless it was for a very good reason, a reason that would bring us closer to Him if we pass the test or endure the trial. So as the devil is seeking to overthrow our faith, God is seeking to increase our faith. And so if we rest in God's love for us, and we look up for help and strength from above, we'll be able to endure and thus gain the victory, and thus come that much closer to Christ in character, and that much more prepared for heaven to be our home. So the devil loses, and we win in Christ Jesus. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to begin at this new paragraph. And it is right at the bottom of page 175. And again, this is Prophets and Kings. To us, as to Peter, the word is spoken. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Luke 22:31-2. Christ will never abandon those for whom he died. We may leave him and be overwhelmed with temptation, but Christ can never turn from one for whom he has paid the ransom of his own life. Could our spiritual vision be quickened, we should see souls bowed under oppression and burdened with grief, pressed as a cart beneath sheaves and ready to die in discouragement. We should see angels flying quickly to the aid of these tempted ones, forcing back the hosts of evil that encompass them and placing their feet on the sure foundation. The battles waging between the two armies are as real as those fought by the armies of this world. And on the issue of the spiritual conflict, eternal destinies depend. So if we could see what is actually taking place through these trials and tribulations, we would see the devil and his angels trying to bring discouragement and pressure and burdens, and then we would see God's heavenly angels trying to fight back the intensity of the devil's attacks. But the devil can't force us to give up the warfare, and God can't force us to overcome the warfare, to be victorious. The decision who wins rests with us. We decide whether to give in to the discouragement and allow the devil to win the warfare on that particular issue, or to look up to Christ and plead for extra grace and strength to endure. And then the devil loses and Christ wins. We become an overcomer, or we become overcome. The choice is ours. And so that means everybody that is saved or everybody that is lost have made the decision themselves. So they're responsible. So when you hear individuals say, the devil made me do it, well, no, that's not true, because they decided to follow the devil's suggestions. And when you hear that individuals believing that they can sin all the way up until Christ comes and then Christ will save them, that's also not true, because Christ will not take anyone to heaven who hasn't made the decision to be his follower and not the devil's follower. Only overcomers will be granted eternal life. So a decision has to be made. So if we are lost, it's because of our own choices. If we are saved, it's because of our own choices. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, before we go to the last paragraph in this chapter?
Well, I was thinking about this business of being tempted and sorrowing and all of this. And it does happen, because we are in a world where the devil is. But when you look forward to heaven, the devil will not be there. We will never have sorrow and discomfort and sadness. And that's really something to focus on when you're down in the bottom of the pit. You look up, you see heaven, and realize that we're being tested and tried here. But the end of the battle is heaven, and I choose heaven. And thank you, God, for showing us the difference.
Amen. Amen. When the devil is defeated in the final great controversy, I mean, Christ defeated him at the cross, but when the devil is finally forever defeated and destroyed, there won't be any more temptations. There won't be any more discouragement. There won't be any more sadness or sorrow because all of those former things are now passed away. And God has erased from our memory all of that past, except the areas in which Christ has aided us and helped us in overcoming. So the aspect of sin will be forgotten. There won't be any more temptations or tribulations. Everything will be eternal happiness and joy and love and peace and contentment. And what a time that will be, not to have to worry about fighting back the desires of your fallen nature to give in to some sin and break God's law and hurt your brother or sister or your neighbor or companion or whoever it may be. That will indeed be a time of rejoicing. Are there any other thoughts or comments or questions? Please feel free. And who would like to read the last paragraph in this chapter?
In the vision of the prophet Ezekiel, there was the appearance of a hand beneath the wings of the cherubim. This is to teach God's servants that it is divine power that gives success. Those whom God employs as his messengers are not to feel that his work is dependent on them. Finite beings are not left to carry the burden of responsibility. He who slumbers not, who is continually at work for the accomplishment of his designs, will carry forward his work. He will thwart the purposes of the wicked, of wicked men, and will bring to confusion the counsels of those who plot mischief against his people. He who is the king, the Lord of hosts, sitteth between the cherubim, and amidst the strife and tumult of nations, he guards his children still. When the strongholds of kings shall be overthrown, when the arrows of wrath shall strike through the hearts of his enemies, his people will be safe in his hands.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So, go ahead, sister.
I was just going to say, does that make you think of the hymn Under His Wings?
Yeah, that's a good hymn. So throughout the scriptures, God has made it evident that he's in control. And even though a nation may come and conquer another nation, and God permits it to take place, doesn't mean that he has forsaken everyone that's in the conquered kingdom. And God has his people all around the world. They're not just located in America or in Australia or Africa. They're all over the world. Remember, we read earlier that Elijah felt he was the only one that remained faithful to God throughout all Israel. And God said, no, I've got 7,000 others that haven't yet bowed the knee to Baal. So you're not alone, even though it appears that you are. So the picture of a hand beneath the wings of the cherubim was given to teach us that it's God's hand that is in control. And so whatever may happen to a nation that you're in, whatever may happen to the community that you're at, whatever may happen to your own family, we know that God is watching over his people. And God is well able to bring to nothing all the plottings and plans of wicked men in order to preserve his people. What happened when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called before the king of Babylon and told, bow to the image and you will be spared. Don't bow to the image and you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. What did they do? Was God standing with them? Or had God forsaken them?
Well, as the story goes, the king saw one that resembled the Son of God walking with them in the fiery furnace. So I would say God was with them.
There's no doubt. But they were thrown in the fire. And the fire was heated 7 times greater than the furnace was made to be heated. So the trial, the tribulation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through was the most intense that it could possibly be. They didn't see God with them. They even told the king, our God is well able to deliver us, but if he chooses not to, we're still going to follow him and we're not going to obey the commands of men, even your command, O king. And so the king of Babylon in his fury, you know, how dare you break my command in front of me, no less, you know, he commanded them to be thrown in the fire. Well, they were resting upon God's love for them. They were resting their entire lives on God's ability to protect them or to raise them up at the first resurrection. They remained faithful unto death if necessary, and then God would give them life. So they trusted implicitly. They manifested faith to the extreme, you know, when their life was in jeopardy. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, he didn't see just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw a fourth person walking with them there. And he said that fourth person resembled the Son of God. And then he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the fire. And when they came out, they were examined. There wasn't the smell of smoke on their clothes. None of their hairs were singed. The only thing that was burned away from them was the ropes that bound their hands. So all the binding circumstances of life was burned away through that trial. If that trial would have never occurred, they still would have been bound. But because they endured in faith and hope and trust and resting in God's love for them, then the binding circumstances of life were burned away. And God revealed that he does indeed know exactly how to defeat the purposes and plans of wicked men and deliver his people. As God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so he will also, just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be able to be with you, even though you may not see him. He'll be right with you. And together you can overcome any temptation, any trial, any circumstance that may be unfavorable to you. you together can gain the victory. Be an overcomer. But God won't force you to. It's your decision to continue forward. God is able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, if our life ends, then he will raise us up at the last day, at the first resurrection, because we've been willing to confess Christ before men and women. And thus the promise is that Christ will confess our names before his Father as worthy of life. That's a precious promise, dear ones. And praise God, it's in the Word. So when you're going through tribulation, trial, oppression, when you find yourself discouraged to the utmost, look up. Fix your eyes on Christ Jesus, and you will receive grace and strength to endure. But you got to keep looking up. As soon as you look down, all you see is this trial, and the devil will make the trial appear like the greatest thing on earth. Impossible to overcome. He'll embellish it to where it's this gigantic mountain that's so steep you can't climb. So if you look up to Jesus, you know that he can do all things. And through him, you'll be able to overcome. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones? Please feel free.
Well, right now my head is full of music. I can think of so many hymns from what you said.
Yeah, one that's going through my mind is, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me.
That's a good one. I think of, he could have called 10,000 angels. But he died alone for you and me.
Now, some believe that when it talks about finite beings not being left to carry the burden of responsibility of God's work, and that God will be able to remove wicked men and deliver his people, some apply that work of God as being committed to a church, to a denomination. And so they look at this and interpret it from the aspect that God's hand is on the wheel of the church. And if there's wicked men in the church, God will be able to defeat all of their plans, all of their wicked devices, and deliver his people from these wicked leaders. So they interpret God's working here as only being through a church, a denomination, but not outside of the denomination. And in trying to reach individuals who have that denominationalism viewpoint can be very difficult. But you have to bring them to Scripture. And so can you find examples in the Scripture where God has not used a denominational system in order to carry forward his work? Where God has not taken away wicked leadership from the church and then committed it into the hands of honest church members? But God has completely set aside the church and chosen others to do his work outside. Can you find examples in the scripture of this? Yeah, amen. Amen. Or the early Christian church. The New Testament is full of all of examples like that, especially in the life of Paul. He at one time was working through the church, the Jewish church, to destroy the Christians, the followers of Christ. But then he had that conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And he then followed Christ's example and worked outside of the corrupt Jewish church. And did God ever remove the wicked leadership from the Jewish church?
No.
No.
I think of the disciples when Christ said, follow me. And he's still saying, follow me.
Amen. Amen. So we have the example in history also brought out in the New Testament where God did not defeat the wicked purposes of evil leadership in the corrupt Jewish church, but God worked outside of the Jewish church in order to continue his work in the earth. And of course, Christ is the prime example. His temples were out in the fields, by the lake, by the sea. And individuals had to come to him outside of the corrupt church in order to hear his teachings. So we have examples right there from scripture. How about in the Old Testament? Can you find examples there? Yeah, well, the woman at the well, yes, but that's New Testament. But that's another example. But from the Old Testament, can you find examples where God worked outside of the corrupt church in order to carry forward his work?
Maybe Noah building the ark, Noah and the ark. I'm thinking, if the people had listened to what Noah said, that there was going to be a flood, and had chosen to go on the ark, they would have lived. But it was just Noah and his family.
True. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, as Paul brings out. But Noah wasn't connected with any of the established churches at the time. Very true. Any other examples? Yes, the one that we're dealing with right now, Elijah. Elijah was not part of the Jewish church hierarchy or leadership. He was called by God outside of Jewish church leadership. Elisha is another one. Elisha was plowing his father's field when God called him into the work. So we see that God is not forced to find individuals within a denomination in order to carry out his work. He can find individuals outside of that denomination in order to bring about the perfection of his will. So the interpretation that God must have a church, a visible church through which he works in order for his work to be brought to completion, is not based upon scriptural evidence. Thus, it's based upon finite minds. not the mind of God. In fact, Paul, go ahead, sister.
I was just going to say Adam and Eve, they spoke to God face to face.
Thank you for your comment. So that's true. Adam and Eve did not need a denomination in order to speak to God. They went to God and spoke to him. And it's the same with us, dear ones. Multitudes have been taught that they find God in the church. And so if they're not connected with the church, then they have no hope of finding God. But we see in Scripture just the opposite, that individuals can go directly to God without having to have a mediator such as a church or a pastor or a pope. They go directly to God through prayer. Amen. Another prophet of God was Amos. Amen. Samuel's mother, she prayed to God directly. Amen. So when Jacob was wrestling there on the hill, when he was going to meet Esau, he didn't have to find some sacred tabernacle before he could talk to God. He just opened his heart and began talking to God and unburdening himself and pleading for forgiveness and assurance that his sins had been forgiven. Because he didn't want to meet his brother, who was bent upon killing him, getting revenge. He didn't want to have any sins unconfessed upon his record book that would not be able to grant him salvation if he died. So we can go directly to God through Jesus. We don't need another person to be our mediator. We don't need Mary to be our mediator in order to talk to her son. We can go directly to Jesus ourselves. In fact, Christ invites individuals to come directly to him. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, find the local synagogue so that you can then come to me and find rest. So Christ invites each and every one of us to come directly to him in prayer and talk with him. Christ himself tells us again in another book in the Bible, Revelation, that he's knocking on the door of the hearts of individuals, not of churches, individuals. And he's asking you as an individual to open the door and let him in. When you look there in Revelation 3 about the Laodicean church, when Christ makes this statement, he says, unto Laodiceans. So he's talking to individuals, knocking on their heart's door. Will you open the door to him? If so, he'll come in and he'll sup with you and you'll be able to sup with him. In other words, it's not something that's just an instant meeting and then it's over. No time at all. Christ wants to come and share time with you. It takes a while to eat a meal. Christ wants the communication between you and him to last a long time. He's our only hope of salvation. You can't find salvation in the church. You can't find salvation in men. You can't find salvation in the Pope. in the priest, in the prelate, in the pastor. You can only find salvation in Christ. So the devil doesn't want us to go directly to Christ because he'll lose the warfare. So he's trying to put anyone, anything, any group, any institution before Christ, in the place of Christ, so that you don't go directly to Christ. You have to go through someone else or something else. And thus the devil can control that individual or that group or that institution or that denomination and lead you farther and farther and farther away from the source of life, which is Christ Jesus. So go directly to your Savior and you will find life everlasting. Are there any comments, thoughts, questions? Please feel free.
I was thinking Christ is only a prayer away, but then I got to thinking Christ is always there and prayer is for our benefit, because when we talk to God, we feel the connection with him and it gladdens our heart. We're connected with the King of the universe.
Amen. Amen. So when we read that God is trying to teach his people that it is divine power that gives success, where do we find success? Only in divine power. Where do we find divine power? Only by looking up. We have to go directly to God, directly to Christ, in order to connect with divine power. So success is not in the church. Success is not in human planning. Success is only found in divine power that comes from God through Christ, through the Spirit to you and me. So how foolish is it to believe that all of your planning in order to carry forward God's work is going to accomplish God's work? Planning is necessary, but that's not what brings success. It's only God's divine power accepting the plans or changing the plans or overruling the plans that brings success. The Jewish system was immense. Christ said that they can pass sea and land to make one convert to Judaism. So they had an immense evangelistic program. But that didn't bring success to them. Because Christ said, and when you find a convert and connect them with your corrupt system, you make that convert twice as ready for destruction as you are. So here we have the immense evangelistic outreach program of the Jews. And then we have Christ and 12 disciples. Which one was more successful at converting individuals to the God of Israel? Was it the Jewish system or was it the very few connected with Christ? Well, the New Testament tells us it was the very few connected with Christ. So here we see that it's not how big or how well organized your system may be, or even your home church may be. It's the connection with Christ and divine power that brings success. So a few individuals connected with Christ and divine power can accomplish more than all the gigantic religious organizations of the world combined. Because it's only divine power that gives success. Yeah, amen. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men except Jesus, whereby we must be saved. Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So connect yourself with Christ directly and follow his leadings. Follow his commands. Rest in his love. And you'll be victorious. Because Christ will give you all the divine grace and power you need to overcome. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
It's a person. It's an individual thing. One talking to another. One showing the love of God in their heart to another, caring for another, making sure all is well with another. And that's what the love of God is. It shines out of a person who has God in their heart.
Amen. So we have the assurance that Christ will never abandon you. You may leave him, and in leaving his side, you no longer have divine power to keep you steadfast, and then you'll be overwhelmed with temptation. But Christ is right there to help you if you'll come to him. Well, next time we'll pick it up at a new chapter, chapter 14 of Prophets and Kings. And praise God for giving us his words of inspiration. It enables you and me to have encouragement to continue on and not give up. Without his word, without Christ's truth, we truly would be lost. Are there any songs? I see Blessed Assurance. Is that a request? Are there any testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Blessed Assurance can be a request.
Would you like to start us off, dear sister?
Okay, I will. And everybody feel free to take a verse. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Duet here. Perfect submission, always at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
If there's anyone that wants to sing a verse, pick a verse and give us a song.
Amen. Are there any other songs that you'd like to suggest or to sing? Any testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Yep. Brother Peter was just asking, What is the title? Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. He was brought up on it as a child, and he's just requested it.
Would you, Peter, like the original version, or would you like the senior version? There's two versions.
He said, oh, I don't know that one, but I said, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Well, I'll give this senior version here. It's similar. It's got the same tune, and you'll see a lot of the same meanings in it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
I'm going to revert to just the first verse of the song, just like Peter, I grew up singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in his I'll go. On through life let come what may, he'll be there to lead the way. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
Amen. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
I'll go take a photo.
When my work on earth is done and life's victories have been won, he will take me home above. Then I'll understand his love. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. And I do. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
Amen. Wonderful suggestion, dear Brother Peter, and thank you for making it. Are there any other requests, any other songs that you'd like to sing for us, dear ones? Anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Well, Sister Susan has requested her favorite song. So if my voice will hold out, I'll attempt it. excuse me. Okay, we'll try this. excuse the gravel. Are you a friend of Jesus? Have you been true to him? Have you kept his commandments? Have you rejected your sin? Have you told others about him and faithfully prayed each day? Did you know Jesus loves you and he'll be your friend always? I think that's about it for me. I'm glad the angels sing with me.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister, for singing that wonderful selection. Here's another. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
My heart's with you, but I can't sing this song anymore. So go ahead.
What are we gonna do?
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. Just as Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through that great intense trial, so he's near each one of us when we go through great or small trials. What a Savior you are, and thank you so much for your love and companionship. But dear ones, are there any last thoughts? Are there any last songs or requests? Any testimonies that you'd like to give before we have closing prayer? Please feel free.
Go.
We've got the best friend in the world. Nothing can...
Can you hear her? I'll bring it to you. Do you want to say it again, fella?
We've got the best friend in the world. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Is the volume okay on her device? Yeah? Oh, that's fantastic.
Amen. Yeah, when he brought it closer to you, we could hear you quite clearly. And thank you for that testimony. And there is a song that's titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. thank you for that testimony and suggestion as well. It's perfect. And who would like to sing this song for us?
Step.
All our sins and griefs to bear. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, the privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Come on. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry down and off you everything to God in prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Pardon? What are the words for that? What are the words for it? I can't see the words. You want verse 3, but you all got to sing.
Are we weak and heavy laden,
cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take ye to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. He is ours, he'll take and shield thee.
Thou wilt find a solace there.
I'm sorry, crack.
Amen.
You got a beautiful voice to play.
Amen. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou will all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Thank you, Savior, for being such a friend to give your life for us that we might share in your eternal life. What a wonderful Savior you are. And praise God for the plan of salvation that enables us through Jesus to be overcomers and thus have a right to the tree of life and enter into the pearly gates, into the city of God, the paradise for his children. Been a wonderful fellowship with you all, dear ones. Praise God for making it all possible, even though we're thousands of miles apart. Praise God for such a time as this, when we can worship him from whom all blessings flows. It's now time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Lord, for creating the Sabbath day. Thank you for all of creation, which reminds us what a wonderful creative ability you have, reminds us of your great love for us, and especially the Sabbath, when we can fellowship together, sing songs together, study your word together. It's just a wonderful day, and thank you so much. Be with each one of us. Hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, and rule in our lives. We commit our lives to you. Be with our families, guide and protect us, and take care of us. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of your blessings, known and unknown, and the fact that we can enjoy forever with those who have accepted Christ, whose love shines through their heart. We ask and we praise your name, dear Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, until we meet again, go with God and keep looking up to Him. Where's our dear brother Dick? Oh, maybe so. It's pretty late where he is. Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Big hugs all around. So glad you were able to join with us in this fellowship, dear Peter and Valerie, and we hope to see you again soon. So dear ones, go with God and keep looking.